The idea for the teaching theme for this weekend was born several months ago while I was sitting in my living room watching the movie The Incredibles with my daughter Riley, probably for about the 10th time. If you have little ones, you know how they have an amazing capacity to watch a movie over and over and over again. But I was sitting there thinking and praying about what to teach at the retreat, and while I was watching this movie, all of a sudden it hit me. Incredibles, superheroes, supers, as they're called in the movie. Now, you might be sitting here this morning wondering, well, what does the movie The Incredibles have to say about spiritual things? What do superheroes have to do with Christianity? And believe it or not, we're only going to scratch the surface of all that this movie has to say about spiritual things and Christianity. Now, if you've already seen this film, you may be able to follow some of the illustrations that will be drawn from the movie a little better than those who've never seen it before. We've tried, though, to select clips and illustrations that can be understood even if you have not seen this movie before. Now, I'm not endorsing this film as a Christian film or anything of that sort. It was simply chosen as a fun way to tie together these teaching sessions and to provide this common illustration throughout for some of the spiritual and scriptural truths that we'll be looking at this weekend. There are going to be a total of 4 sessions this weekend using the movie The Incredibles as one of the backdrops or parables for the Christian life. In this first session this morning, entitled You Are a Super, I will be talking about who we are in Christ. In the second session this morning, which will be taught by my wife, Sharon, she'll be talking about our spiritual or our superpowers. God has given us spiritual gifts, our superpowers, to enable us to carry out our mission. In the third session, which will be this evening, taught by Jeff Lynch, it'll be entitled, You Have a Supersuit, and it'll be talking about our supersuit, our special armor that God has given us to protect us in the spiritual war that we're engaged in. And then finally, in the fourth session, which will be tomorrow morning, taught by Steve Bunnell, it'll be titled, You Have a Super Mission, and it'll be talking about the mission that we've been given. As Jesus followers, we really are on a mission from God, and I don't know how much more super a mission can be than one that's given to us by the very God of the universe. This following film clip from the movie The Incredibles is intended to set the context for future clips that you're going to see. We want to be supers. Can anyone tell me what this is? This is not just a beach towel. This is a cape. When I was a little guy, I used to imagine I was a superhero. I would take one of my mom's bath towels and I would tie it around my neck and have it hang down the back so it was a cape. And then I would jump off of everything I could find in the house so I could get my sense of flying. And in my imagination, I did fly. My brother and I would spar and we would fight with each other and against all kinds of imaginary bad guys, sending them flying with a single mighty super punch or kick. We would be captured by the bad guys and tortured, but we would never give in. We stood for justice and what was right. And when the opportunity presented itself, we would free ourselves from our captors, defeat them, and save the world once again. We created secret hideouts in the vacant fields behind our house. We built guns and bombs and all kinds of gadgets for our belts out of pieces of junk and odd bits that we found lying around. We made super fast cars and planes and rocket ships out of our imaginations and cardboard boxes and lawn chairs. The desire to be a super, it's deeply ingrained in the heart of every single one of us in one form or another. We may call that desire by some other name. We may express it in some other way. We may use some other context to describe it, but it's there in every one of us. We want to be different. We want to escape the limits of our reality. We want to be heroes. And that desire tells us that we are not what we were meant to be. There's a general feeling of restlessness and discontent within our heart that pulls us toward that thing that we're not, but we want to be, and we know we should be. I think this is at least part of what Solomon was getting at when he wrote in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. When we're children, that desire is right at the surface, and it fills our imagination at every turn. But as we get older, we push it further and further down. We have to be mature. We have to be responsible. We have to act like adults. But in Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." We need to have what we might call a divine imagination. We need to be able to see the way God does. The world that we live in, when it's seen from an adult point of view, it's very one-dimensional. But when our world is viewed with the eyes of a child, with the eyes of God, with the eyes of divine imagination, with the eyes of faith, it's multidimensional. What the physical eyes see is only a small part of what's really there. 2 Corinthians 4:18, for example, says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." 2 Corinthians 5:7, "We live by faith, not by sight." Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." The tiger is an animal that brings a sense of awe and worship to mind for me, like few others. The combination of beauty and power found in the tiger is amazing to me. The Siberian tiger is the largest natural occurring cat in the world, much bigger than lions. Males weigh over 800 pounds. Their roar can be heard for over a mile. The glory of God shouts to me through the tiger. One of my favorite poems is "The Tiger" by William Blake. It captures perfectly the beautiful terror of the tiger. "Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night, what immortal hand or eye could frame thy fearful symmetry? In what distant deeps or skies burnt the fire of thine eyes? On what wings dare he aspire? What the hand dare seize the fire? And what shoulder and what art could twist the sinews of thy heart? And when thy heart began to beat, what dread hand and what dread feet? What the hammer? What the chain? In what furnace was thy brain? What the anvil? What dread grasp dare its deadly terrors clasp? When the stars threw down their spears and watered heaven with their tears, did he smile his work to see? Did he who made the lamb make thee? Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night, what immortal hand or eye dare frame thy fearful symmetry?" There was once a motherless tiger cub who was adopted and raised by a herd of goats. And the tiger cub learned the goat language. He ate goat food. He learned the goat ways in everything. And because the tiger cub had been adopted at such an early age by the goats, he actually thought he was a goat. And then one day, a king tiger came along. All of the goats scattered in fear, leaving the young tiger all alone to confront the fearsome Tiger King. The young tiger felt afraid, but also in a strange way, not afraid. The king tiger asked the young tiger what he was doing carrying on such a strange masquerade among these goats, behaving like one of them. But all the young tiger could do is respond with a nervous bleat and continue nibbling at the grass. So the Tiger King took the young tiger to a pool of water, and he forced him to look at their two reflections side by side and draw his own conclusions. And the young tiger was confused. So the Tiger King offered him his very first piece of raw meat. And at first the young tiger recoiled from this unfamiliar taste. But then as he ate it and he felt it warming his blood, the truth gradually became clear to him. Lashing his tail and digging his claws into the ground, the young tiger raised his head high, and the jungle trembled at the sound of his roar. He was not a goat at all, but a tiger. An overwhelming joy filled that young tiger when he finally discovered who he really was. All of the pieces of his life began to fall into place. A new sense of purpose gripped him. He had discovered his destiny. And Jesus is a tiger. Beautiful and fierce and powerful and dangerous. His presence causes us to shudder in fear. And on the other hand, we want to get as close as we can to him because we feel this life gushing from him. Jesus is the Tiger King who has burst into the goat herd. And he's asking you and me, why are you behaving like a goat? You're a tiger, and I have come to set you free from all that has prevented you from becoming what you are. The glory of God is man fully alive. Saint Irenaeus wrote this many, many years ago, and this is really the central idea of what I want to communicate to you today. It appears on the cover of your retreat booklet. God is glorified in us and through us when we are what God intended us to be. Put another way, when you are a tiger, but you're living like a goat, you are not bringing glory to God. He intended you to be a tiger, not a goat. Be a tiger. Put another way, you are a super, and God is glorified when you live like it. Jesus is a man fully alive. He is full of life and vitality like no other human being has ever been. And when we look at Jesus, we see what a human being is supposed to be. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Greek word translated to the full in the NIV means superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. Did you get that? In other words, Jesus came to give us super life. Jesus came to make you and me fully alive. I believe the root of many of our problems is an identity crisis of sort. We don't know who we are. We forget who we are. We refuse to accept who we are. And we're not being who we are. God's glory is not seen in that kind of life. We're not fully alive. We're half dead when we live like that. The glory of God is man fully alive? In the movie The Incredibles, something happens that requires all of the superheroes to go into hiding undercover and assume regular civilian lives and stop being superheroes. And the thing that happens that causes that is not really that important. But when the superheroes have to go undercover and stop being superheroes, something dies in them. Because they are not being anymore what they were created to be. They are living drastically diminished lives from what could be and should be theirs. They are not fully alive. Bob, Mr. Incredible, is stuck working at this insurance company for an unethical boss who wants him to cheat people out of their benefits. And this all goes against the very fiber of his being. He was created to stand for justice and to protect the downtrodden. And as he's getting lectured by this pipsqueak boss of his, he's watching a criminal outside in the alley mugging someone, the very thing he was created to give his life to protect. This is where his passion lies. His heart pulls him in that direction. He knows that that is his true identity. And Bob's frustration finally boils over from knowing that he's not being what he was made to be. His boss ends up in the hospital and he gets fired. Now in this next clip, we're picking up as Bob arrives home from this very bad long day at the office that he's just had. By the neighbor kid on the driveway is so telling. When Bob, Mr. Incredible, asks the kid what he's waiting for, the kid says, "I don't know. Something amazing, I guess." The world is saying the same thing to us. They're waiting for something amazing. They're waiting to see people who are fully alive. They're waiting to see the glory of God and his people as they are being what they were meant to be. Few things make Jesus Christ more compelling to an unbeliever than to see the glory of God in people fully alive. Now, I want to make sure that you don't misunderstand me here. I'm not talking about miracle performing power. I'm talking about something much more visceral, gut level than that. I'm talking about the power that God manifests in bringing dead people to life, in displaying his glory through you and me, in showing the world what a human being is intended to be. You might be thinking, well, I don't see much of God's glory in my life. And my response to that question is another question. Are you looking in the right places? If you put a light inside of a clay pot and you close the lid, what do you see? A clay pot. The light cannot be seen. But if that clay pot has cracks in it, pieces broken out of it, what will you see? You'll see the light shining out through the cracks and the missing pieces and the places where the pot has been broken. Our life is the same way. The glory of God shines out of us through the cracked and broken places. The Apostle Paul tells a story about being permitted to see things that no human being is allowed to see on this side of heaven. Glorious things. Things that would give a person a big head. 2 Corinthians 12:1, he says, "I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, he's talking about himself, but he won't even mention his own name here as he writes this. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. And then skipping down to verse 7, he says, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. You see, it's not about us being super in ourselves. It's about us being super in Christ, and he has made us super. And those places where his superness shines the brightest in our life are those places where his superness has been needed the most in our life. The places where God's glory shines the brightest in our life is in the places where his glory has been needed the most. It's the cracked and the broken places of our life that God's glory shines the brightest. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Jesus is the prototype of what God is creating in us. Romans 8:29, it says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. The word translated firstborn here is prototokos. And the English word that contains that same Greek root and immediately comes to mind to us is prototype. A prototype is the first of its type or kind. It's the model or the pattern for those that follow. What God's intention is for us is this, is that we be like Jesus. To be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn, the prototype, the prototokos, among many brothers and sisters. And I don't want us to miss this. Those who conform to the likeness of his Son are glorious, it says. Those whom God foreknew and predestined to be like Jesus, he called, he justified, and he glorified. What we are becoming is glorious. Romans 8:18, it says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, meaning God, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. I want to close this morning with the words of a song called Beautiful by Bethany Dillon. This song expresses the ideas that I've been talking about, but it expresses these ideas from a female perspective, which I think is important for us to hear. See, I'm a man, and I see things through the eyes of a man. And some of you here might think that a lot of what I've been talking about is man stuff, but it isn't. It's human stuff. Men and women may express these things differently. We may seek superness in different ways. We may describe the yearning in our heart differently. There may be different images and experiences that speak these things to our hearts. But the truths are the same. The hunger in our heart is the same. And I can still remember the first time I heard this song. My daughter, Taylor, was playing it on my car stereo as I was driving her back from school one afternoon. And I remember fighting back the tears as I was driving down the freeway. This song was clawing at my heart. And ever since, I have looked forward to an opportunity to share it with you. It goes like this. I was so unique. Now I feel skin deep. I count on the makeup to cover it all, crying myself to sleep because I cannot keep their attention. I thought I could be strong, but it's killing me. Does someone hear my cry? I'm dying for new life. I want to be beautiful. I want to be beautiful, make you stand in awe. Look inside my heart and be amazed. I want to hear you say, who I am is quite enough. Just want to be worthy of love and beautiful. Sometimes I wish I was someone other than me, fighting to make the mirror happy, trying to find whatever is missing. Won't you help me back to glory? I want to be beautiful, make you stand in awe. Look inside my heart and be amazed. I want to hear you say, who I am is quite enough. Just want to be worthy of love and beautiful. You make me beautiful. You make me stand in awe. You step inside my heart, and I am amazed. I love to hear you say, who I am is quite enough. You make me worthy of love and beautiful. Christian, you have the glory of God inside of you. You are a super. You've been given superpowers. You've been given a super suit. You've been given a super mission to serve, to save, to protect, and instill hope in others. Be fully alive, bringing glory to God. Let's bow our heads. Jesus, we thank you that you're the King Tiger. He's crashed right into the middle of the goat herd. You came to remind us and to show us that we're not goats or tigers. We're always tigers. Help us be fully alive, Lord. In Christ's name. Amen.